We thank the Lord for the privilege of sharing another Way of Truth broadcast with you. This broadcast service originates in the radio studios of the Church of God in Hagerstown, Maryland, United States of America. This is Alvin and Craig inviting you to stay tuned as we bring you the gospel on today's Way of Truth broadcast. And we're opening with a selection, It's Gonna Be Wonderful.
When troubles of life are o'er, and we shall meet on that shore, it's gonna be wonderful in heaven on high. When burdens are all laid down, we'll wear a bright robe and crown. It's gonna be wonderful.
Heavenly Father, we are truly thankful for the love of God. We're thankful for the gift of your dear Son, and we're thankful for all of the blessings that are ours, temporal and spiritual, for we know that they all come from Thee. We also thank You for our congregation today, and we're trusting the blessings of God to rest and abide upon each and every one of them. We're thankful that Your Word informs us that You are no respecter of persons, but You love everyone, You care for everyone, and Jesus died for everyone. So bless our congregation today, and may this broadcast be an inspiration and a blessing to souls. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. It is a privilege to share this broadcast service with you from week to week, and we do trust that it's proving to be a blessing. I'd like to remind our congregation that if you would like to hear our broadcast again, you can turn to or go to our webpage. We have a number of broadcasts there on our webpage that you can download and listen to. Also, our monthly Way of Truth magazine. And our webpage address is www.wayoftruth.org, www.wayoftruth.org.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. hath saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. 'Twas blind, but now I see. It was amazing grace that saved my soul. Amazing grace that made me whole. He lifted me out from the depths of sin, made me holy and lives within. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. 'Twas blind, but now I see. He can save your wretched soul if you give your all in all, with an open heart and faith to believe. He can save you and me. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. 'Twas blind, but now I see. It's time to praise our Savior and King. It's time to lift your voice and sing. So raise your hands and shout out loud. Don't be ashamed to make Him proud. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. 'Twas blind, but now I see.
When you go back into ancient history and study in regard to the ideas and beliefs of some of the ancient people of Babylon and Egypt and so forth, you find that they had some various ideas in regard to the afterlife. And we find that they would put food and other items in the tombs, especially of their rulers, that they might have something to eat in the afterlife. In fact, there was a report some few years ago about finding a boat in one of the pyramids there in Egypt. And also they would slay some of the servants so that they could serve them in the afterlife. And because of the myths and false ideas that some people had in ancient times in regard to the afterlife, some people have disregarded the idea altogether and passed it all off as myths. But on today's broadcast, I'd like for you to think with me on the thought of what the Bible teaches about eternal life, not what some ancient people may have had an idea or some mythology, but what the Bible teaches about eternal life. First of all, we read in the prayer of Jesus, as recorded in John 17, and in the third verse, He said, "And this is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent." And the very familiar passage of Scripture that is so well known by multitudes, "God so loved the world, that He gave His only begotten Son." What for? So that they would not perish, but have everlasting or eternal life. It is far more important to know what the Scriptures teach concerning eternal life than to know how long we can live, or how much money we can make, or how much of this world we can see or travel over. Yes, it is far more important for us to know what the Scriptures teach concerning eternal life. Now, first of all, eternal life is desired. We read in the Scriptures in Matthew chapter 19 about a young man who came running to Jesus, and he said, "Behold, one came and said unto him, Good Master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?" He had heard that there was a teacher going about, teaching that it was possible to have eternal life. And although he had material things in an abundance, yet he was interested in eternal life. However, whenever he found out what it would cost him to have eternal life, he went away. But he came asking the question. So eternal life is desired. It should be desired by everyone, and God has made it possible for everyone. So eternal life is to be desired. I find this life very enjoyable. Oh, yes, there are trials and there are tests and there's battles. And as we get older, we develop pains maybe and some problems. But I find this life to be interesting. God has blessed us richly with many, many things. He has given us richly all things to enjoy. So even in this time world, this life is enjoyable. It's desirable. But there is indeed a life beyond the grave, and it is to be desired. Now, also, this eternal life is promised. It's not a myth. It's not a dream. It's not from some ancient heathen culture. It is a promise by Almighty God. We read in 1 John 2:25, "And this is the promise that He hath promised us, even eternal life." And the Scriptures declare that God cannot lie. And so God has promised us eternal life. This is the promise that He hath promised us, even eternal life. And we read in Titus 1:2, "In hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began." Yes, before God ever created the world, it was in His mind and in His plan to provide eternal life for the family of man that He was going to create. In hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. So as enjoyable as this life is, there is a much better life awaiting those who will live for God and do His bidding and will. Now, this life that I'm talking about, this eternal life, is in God's Son, and only in God's Son, I might add. This is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. We know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding that we may know Him that is true, and we are in Him that is true, even in His Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. So we read in 1 John chapter 5, verses 11, 12, and 20. Have you ever stopped to consider that most of the world's religion does not even speak of a Savior? They do not have in their doctrine or their theology or in their beliefs a Savior. No, over 1 billion Muslims, we are told. But where is their doctrine? Where is their teaching in regard to a Savior? And whenever you go to Asia and see the various religions that are there, Mohammedism and Confucianism, the Hindus and so forth, where is the Savior? But the fact of the matter is, there is eternal life only in the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the only begotten Son of God. Only in Christ is there life. He that hath the Son hath life. This is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life. And this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. We know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding that we may know Him that is true, and we are in Him that is true, even in His Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Now, this eternal life is a gift. Yes, it is a gift. Why is it a gift? Because it is so precious, it is so valuable, that you could not possibly buy it with gold or silver or houses or lands or any other thing that we might mention. Nor can you work it out or deserve it by good works. It is a gift from God. I remember many years ago hearing a young lady speaking in a young people's service near Raleigh, North Carolina, and she said, "Salvation is free if you'll just pay the price." Now that sounds contradictory, but it really isn't. There is a price that is to be paid, and the price is you must give up sin. Yes, you must give up all sin. Jesus giveth a parable about a man who sold all that he had and went and bought a field in which there was a pearl of great price. And what Jesus is teaching us there is that you must give up all the sinful things of this world to obtain salvation. For salvation is found in Jesus Christ and in Him alone. Now the Apostle John, or Paul rather, has told us in Romans 6:23, that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Yes, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And we read in St. John chapter 10 and verse 28, where Jesus said, "I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." Now Jesus was not talking or teaching that it was impossible for a person to lose spiritual life, but as long as we live for Christ and have Him abiding in our heart and in our life, there's no power in hell nor in earth that can rob us of our spiritual life. "I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." So salvation, eternal life, is a gift, a precious gift indeed, and it is given to us by God through His only begotten Son. Now this gift is received by faith. Again, I say it is not by works, and you cannot buy it with gold or silver, but you can receive it. And you can receive it by faith. "But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name." So we read in John chapter 1 and verse 12. In that chapter we are told that Jesus came unto His own, and His own received Him not. "But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name." And we are told in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 13, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God." The Hebrew writer tells us in Hebrews 11 that without faith, it is impossible to please God. So, without faith, it is impossible to be forgiven of your sins. And remember, Paul said in Romans 6 and 23 in the first part, that the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. But we must believe on the Son of God. These things have I written unto you, that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. The Apostle John also said, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. To be a son of God is to have spiritual life. You cannot have spiritual life without being a child of God, and you cannot be a child of God without having spiritual life. Now, what I'm talking about is not something alone in the future. It is a present possession that we have. He that hath the Son hath life. So if you have the Son of God as your Lord, Savior, and Master, then you have life. He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. So what we're talking about in spiritual life, eternal life, it is a present possession. And we must endeavor to retain it, and we can by the grace of Almighty God. Yes, there is a devil in the world, and he would do his utmost to rob us of this marvelous and wonderful gift. I dare say every true Christian listening to my voice today has been approached by Satan, and Satan has whispered in your ear, as it were, you're not saved. That wouldn't happen to you if you were really saved. What is he doing? He's trying to rob you of spiritual life. But you know, as the writer of the hymn said, I was there when it happened, and I ought to know. So you were there whenever the Lord forgave you, because you are the one that repented. You are the one that was forgiven, and you are the one that received Christ. Now, put forth the effort that is necessary to fight the good fight of faith and to retain this great gift that God has given to you. We're told in the Scriptures that we are to lay hold upon eternal life. Paul, in writing to Timothy, said in 1 Timothy 6 and 12, fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. So remember, God has given you eternal life through Christ, but Satan would do his utmost to rob you of it, and he would use anything that he possibly can. We read in the Scriptures of a man by the name of Demas, who was a co-laborer with Paul, and Paul commended him and appreciated him. But we read later on in Paul's writings that Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. So Satan is working and scheming and planning how that he might trip us up and rob us of our gift of eternal life. Now, don't be tormented by the idea or the thought, well, I can't make it. You can make it, just as the Lord told Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. And his grace is sufficient for every one of us. He has told us in his word that he would not let us be tempted above that which we are able to bear, but that he would with every temptation make a way of escape. Now, the Lord didn't say that we wouldn't be tested, we wouldn't be tempted, we wouldn't be tried. Even the Lord Jesus himself was tempted, tested, and tried, as we read in Matthew 4 and other scriptures. So don't think it's strange because you go through a trial or a test. Satan would try to use that to rob you of your spiritual life. But the Lord said, I'll not let you be tempted above that which you are able to bear, but will with every temptation make a way of escape for you. He has also told us, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Draw nigh unto God, and he will draw nigh unto you. Now the wonderful news is, the good news, and that's what the gospel is, the good news is that eternal life is offered to all. Yes, eternal life is offered to all. Let no man deceive you with this false doctrine of predestination. Jesus Christ tasted death for every man. God so loved the entire family of man that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. So the good news is, eternal life is offered to all. God is no respecter of person. If there's anyone listening to this broadcast today who is outside of Christ, I would encourage you to seek the Lord, be saved, and receive Christ, and in so doing, receive life. Heavenly Father, bless these thoughts that has gone forth to the hearts of our precious congregation. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. It is a privilege to share the gospel with you from week to week on this broadcast, and we certainly trust and pray that it is a blessing to you. And as you've heard me say many times, if you're a regular listener, if it's a blessing to you, it would be an encouragement to us if you'd let us know. Our postal address, The Way of Truth Broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. The Way of Truth Broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. Our email address is truth@fred.net, truth@fred.net. And our webpage address, www.wayoftruth.org, www.wayoftruth.org. And now, this is Alvin A. Craig. We thank you for listening to our broadcast today. I'd like to invite you to tune in the station next week when again, the Lord willing, we'll be coming your way with another Way of Truth broadcast.
When Stephen was accused, lonely and bewildered, no one that day would stand by his side. He looked in the heavens and saw the face of Jesus, and he rode him over the tide.
I've never had a prayer he couldn't answer. I've never shed a tear he could not cry.
Roll you over the tide.
rose.